Welcome to the Discipleship Pathway Podcast. Our podcast exists to help people take their next step in Christ. Every disciple needs a plan in following after Christ. The road's not easy. The road's not always clear. Our hope is to provide simple resources to help people on the journey along the way.
Hello, and welcome back to the Discipleship Pathway Podcast. I'm Matt Dennings, lead pastor at Anthem Church, and today I am joined by Chris Kurtz, who is our pastor for mobilization, because of the topic that we're discussing today. So Chris, why don't you introduce yourself a bit and kind of why you're here with what we're talking about today?
Yeah. So again, pastor of mobilization for Anthem. Functionally, that's staff oversight, operations type stuff, and then alignment with an Anthem, which goes a lot with the topic of stewardship, stuff like that. Currently working on my PhD in leadership as well, so I'm kind of just in this realm a lot and have interacted with a lot of these materials, which has gotten me really excited to read through what you've developed and been working on. And so actually, I'm just really excited to kind of draw out today more what you've been developing, why you've developed it. So to start, I'd be interested to hear, like, what prompted stewardship and just kind of where we got to now with the resource that we have in our hands.
Yeah, so I will first give kind of an analogy that will help explain it a little bit more. So first kind of a picture, and then with an illustration, and then we can break down more practically over the years I've seen this. So the picture, I often... ever since high school, I have this anxiety dream pretty regularly. And in that dream, because I was in a lot of theater productions, and I had a very hard time memorizing lines. I would go off script a lot. And so in trying to memorize lines exactly, it was difficult. So I have this ongoing anxiety dream where I'm in front of everyone, and it's opening night. And there's the moment where I'm supposed to deliver my line, and I have no idea what I'm supposed to say. In fact, in my dream, it's because I've never actually been given the manuscript. No one ever gave me the lines. And so it's terrifying. It's this nightmare because I'm standing in front of this crowd, and they're just watching. And then all the rest of the cast is staring at me, and they're waiting. And then, of course, internally, I'm just filling up with shame. And I just feel awful that I'm not able to deliver my line. And that dream, I've thought many times, parallels the experience of what many of us experience in discipleship, which is you're kind of on the stage of life. Here I am. And the world is watching. You've got other people in your life. You know, if you're a dad or a mom, your kids, your family members, your spouse, the rest of the church, your friends, your coworkers, they're just kind of waiting, like, for you to play your part. And then in the midst of it, when you don't know what to do, you're kind of filling up with shame, just guilt, this nagging sense that, why in the world am I even doing this? Because the issue is we don't know what to do. We don't have a script. Everyone says, we've talked about this previous episodes, you know, kind of follow Jesus, walk in the Spirit, even things like read your Bible. And no one's ever broken that down to practically what it means or how to do it. So that's kind of the word picture for it. And that's part of why we call it disciple scripts, because what we want to do is provide those scripts, like the different tools, the practical handlebars for how to do this whole thing. I think there's a lot of great content out there, a lot of ministries, sites that are built for kind of the gospel-centered heart underneath theology, discipleship, being the church, all these things, a life of obedience and sanctification. However, there aren't many practical tools. So what happens is, especially in an increasing knowledge economy, there's tons of content. An AI bot could take a lot of this stuff and develop it for us. Hey, do this, think this. This is theologically. Here's everything from biblical theology and from the beginning to the end of scripture, these threads of how we should think about things. And you know, different systematic and categorical discussions. But there's not a lot that says, okay, how do I do this? Where do I start? So that's the word picture. The practical part of this pastorally is over the years. So I've been, I guess you could say, a full-time pastor for 12 years. But before that, in multiple contexts, Southern California, now here. But before that was in Louisville. Even before that, a little bit of time in Minneapolis, but down in Ohio doing campus ministry when I really became a Christian at Ohio State through Campus Crusade. I've seen this over the last really 20 years. I've been a part of intensely involved in different kinds of ministries, different generational focuses. Some focus on one generation, some focus on many, on all generations. Different kinds of content. Different cultural context, and then over the course of all kinds of societal trends and changes, and those societal trends and changes also impact the church and how the church is trying to respond. And one consistent theme is over and over again encountering individuals who many of them have been in the church their whole life. No one has ever given them practical tools. And as things have changed, so they're going, how do I do this? And I just desire to provide that. And then also on the other side, I think increasingly, we live in a world in which we just don't get the basic tools. You know, I don't talk about this a lot publicly, but I did. I grew up in a home where my dad was gone most of the I grew up a good portion after junior high, pivotal age starting in sixth grade, where I didn't have a dad in the home. Mom was just trying to survive because of kind of our context. We, you know, Section 8 housing, moving around a lot. It took a while before I had any real good figures in my life, adult figures who were stable, who could just give me basic wisdom. It was a miracle that I made it through, like graduating high school and these things. No one ever, you know, it's the little things, like it starts off in life, like just how to present yourself, how to study, how to learn, how to plan a life. All these things were things I never got. So I'm sympathetic to individuals who increasingly in our society are growing up with that practical reality. And then also within the church, we don't do this. And so usually the jump is you get into the church world and it's like, oh, all of this theology, all of this heady stuff, but then we don't even have the basic ability to put together a budget or to put together a plan for how to put together the calendar for the next week. And so that jump, then when they go, so somehow now manifest this, I think is quite an overwhelming leap, and that's what these scripts are meant to provide, some of those simple steps.
Yeah, because we've talked a little bit even about what I'm hearing is people know they need to be doing something, but they don't know what that is. And almost it can create this guilt in us, right? Where it's like, I know, and even in our world of, we have all of these choices, all of these decisions, what could I be doing? And you stack on top of that just what the world gives, but then also it's like, I read my Bible, I'm told to make disciples, I'm told to do these things, and it's just like, I think for Christians even sometimes it can kind of get doubly like, I'm not doing what I should be doing, but also I don't know what I should be doing. And I think that's what, as I've read through this resource, it seems to give really clear, simple handlebars to like, hey, here's what you can do. And it's not, the thing I love about it is like, it's not crazy. Like we've even talked about like, this is actually super simple, but it's just giving clear guidelines for
this,
that.
This is not rocket science. I love that. I anticipate anyone who would use these tools, which we're about ready to get into, that they would walk away going, I could have easily written that. And I would go, great. Because if you think I could have written that, then you probably feel really good about being able to utilize it and then also take others through it. I mean, I guess, like, actually, we just this morning got the proofs, the printout of the some of these tools, the book, and available on Amazon. By the time this is out there, it's all on the website and you can find it. But as I'm looking at it, you know, my name's on there, but I kind of think it's funny that my name's even on there, because there's really, this I think is general knowledge that anyone could take and anyone could run with. And that's why we make these things available online for free, digitally. Really, they're just at cost for printing, because really don't care about any of the making profit off of anything. We just want to put tools in the hands of people so that they can take them, adjust them if they need to, but run them out.
Yep.
And so as we go, we'll probably give ideas for, you know, how these tools can be used, who they can be used with. But for now, let's, yeah, we can kind of start with like, okay, so what are these scripts?
Yeah, because you got, looking up, just have it in front of me right here. So step one, you have Git Vision. Can you explain that out a little bit more?
Yeah. So even the broaden out first to frame it, we're going to have a few episodes where we talk about the plan. And then, because every disciple needs a plan and they need practices. So the first tool that we're going to talk about right now is the plan, which we call the steward script. It's a basic plan for stewarding. We believe God has placed us in the world, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. You're made in my image. And so with that, what are the different domains of life that I'm meant to steward? Steward just comes from a word that means to be like to watch over someone else's stuff. And so what it's essentially saying is you are to be a steward of what God has placed in your life. You have a calling on you. And so we'll get into this, but it's these different spheres or domains of life that we're meant to invest in, and we're meant to be fruitful, multiply, cultivate, and see, bring under the leadership or kingship of Christ. Mm. And so that'll be in the second part. Okay. But yes, yeah, so we start with in this, and then the one with practices is going, we'll come back to that and have a couple episodes on it where that is developing a rule of life. We call it the apprentice script. It's just a basic for developing what will be your spiritual disciplines and incorporating them into your life. So this is a basic, really vision plan, a plan or approach for a disciple of what areas of life am I going to focus on? So yes, the first step, there are four steps, and the first one is getting vision.
Okay.
And why we start there is because vision, it's been said that a vision is a preferred picture of the future. Mm-hmm. It's a preferred outcome or place that you want to go. And you want to make that as tangible as possible. Mm-hmm. What is the picture in your head of where you want to go? And what the first step does is it walks you through. First, really, we are meant for this vision of visions, is what we call it, which is we're meant to have a vision of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if we just try to sit back and go, well, what's the vision for your life? And this is where this is, let me just maybe a little caveat here. This is where this is different than just any general self-help. Okay, self-help is just, hey, come up with a vision for your life, which, you know, for better or for worse, it's better to have a vision for your life than none. However, there's really nothing guiding it.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes the proverbial, you know, you shoot an arrow at a barn and then you run over after it hits the barn and then you run over and then you draw the mm-hmm. bullseye. Like, oh, look, I hit the bullseye. It's like, All right, so you just shot an arrow. What were your desires? What did you want to aim at in life? And then later on you went, see, that was the aim the whole time. And you're mm-hmm. like, well, you know. So what we want to say is first, God has given us a bullseye. He's given us a target, and that's himself. And that's his glory. And so for the first part of it just walks you through, what is that vision? That do you have that vision of God? Throughout scripture, God always gives a vision of himself before he gives people a calling. So there are several places that you see this with Abraham. You see it with Isaiah, like when he's Isaiah 6, when he's in the temple, it's political turmoil. What are we to do? How do we respond? God gives a vision. Ezekiel, they're in exile. He gives a vision in Ezekiel 1. Again and again, God shows up, gives a vision of himself,
mm-hmm.
reveals something of himself. They see his power. They see his glory. And then from there, then he calls him. Moses encounters God in the burning bush. Right. Then he calls Abraham. Now you're to approach Pharaoh. Right. And free my people. God always starts with a vision of himself so that it would align the vision that we would have for our lives. It's essentially the vision of our lives is a subplot in that greater story of the story of God's glory and his redemption. So first we walk through that. It just kind of gives perspective or frames our vision. And I don't know if you have any thoughts in that kind of portion where that's maybe a little bit different, because I'm guessing this idea of kind of developing some kind of a vision for your life isn't anything new.
Yeah. No, I really love those starting with who God is. Like, God creates the bullseye for us and aiming for his glory. And even one of my my professors at Midwestern just talks about how, like, he has a definition for missional leadership, and it's living your life for the glory of God and the good of others. So he's like, that's his whole definition of leadership and what we do. And, like, that's the bullseye. That's the target that we're going after. And so I think that's where it has to start, is who is God? And that, letting that define every other aspect of our life.
No, that's good. And so it, the first little part, and the reason why we're spending some time here is I don't want, it's one page, it's simple, just points out, prioritize this, and then there's some questions that guide taking time to contemplate who God is. You can do it with scripture, but the reason why, what I'm emphasizing here is don't skip that. Like, have you ever, perhaps the reason why it's hard to develop a vision for your life, to have clarity, is because there is no, there's no perspective. So the vision for your life is driven by anxiety. Vision for your life is driven by, you know, like, I'm just trying to get all the comforts I can. Because if there's no sense of God's glory, eternity, a sense of I don't have to run from my guilt and my past, and then build this whole persona. Right. Again, there's nothing wrong with success. There's not, if anything, with this, it's like, I hope people become successful business people.
Yeah.
People have an idea of how, as a creative, they can be flourish in that gifting. But it's to say that you can, though, run after those things as a way to avoid and to cover up things. And what this says is, first, have you really gone before God? Now, this isn't an entire gospel treatment here of how to be reconciled to God and know him. However, so there's whole other conversation points underneath this. But do you have a vision of who God is? And does that frame your life's vision?
Yeah.
Taking time for that. Like, this allows for a really, really pivotal moment if you're willing to take it. Yep. With that, then, I think before you can really look forward, again, part of it is, a lot of times we try to look, we think vision is just looking forward, and that's where we start. But you almost have to look backwards first, or you do have to look backwards first. Because oftentimes, the reason we are where we are, and we have the proclivities, the kind of the personality, the burdens, because what's going to happen when you have a vision or a sense of calling is it means you usually have some kind of a burden for something. You want to provide a solution for something. Usually that is formed from previous life experiences. So what it, the first, after contemplating who God is, then it walks you through this simple worksheet we call the positive negative turn sheet. And what it does, it walks you back through your life experiences and you chart them. And there are worksheets included in the material, and it, and you can go through and chart, okay, these are, you know, a 9 out of 10 positive experience when I was 5, that surprise birthday party that my parents threw and the whole family was there, right? Or a negative experience, 10 out of 10 negative when my mother got cancer when I was in junior high, right? Those kinds of things, or when my grown child became ill or lost their job or got divorced, you know, when I was age 55. Those are the things that you chart out. What were those pivotal positive and negative moments in life? And what happens, and we'll come back to, and again in other episodes, how to, as a group, walk through these together. Because, man, when you get to take the time individually to do this, and then you also get to process that with others, it's powerful.
Yep.
It really helps you get to be honest and understand one another. But when you walk through this, the idea is that the positives, they tend to, when you reflect on it, and this, you walk through this in the book, when you reflect on those positives, it tends to reveal the things that you're most passionate about. Okay, whereas the negative experiences usually formed your burden for the world, what you most feel needs to change. So, for instance, in my life, I shared a little bit about, you know, my dad, just my family. It was kind of a mess growing up. And so one of the things that I'm passionate about is helping in this way, helping people get their life, you know, figure out their life.
Yeah.
So to the degree that this helps people follow Jesus, great. If it also along the way also practically helps them like figure out how to get out of debt,
mm-hmm.
or how to just have healthy friendships, or a healthy body,
mm-hmm.
their physical body. Great.
Yeah.
I love that. I don't think that's not something that Christ doesn't touch.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a passion for that,
mm-hmm.
Or a burden for that. But then also on the other side, I have this passion for, because of some of those highs or times, things I've experienced in my time in a church, or in my time with my wife, or in my time with my kids, where it forms just that passion and those things that really fire me up.
Mm-hmm.
So walking through that, looking backwards, is going to help you understand where you are today and why certain things drive you.
Yep. Yeah. And the other thing I love about that is just practically people just don't do that. Like that's like people don't slow down and take time to just reflect. I know when I did this, I think we walked through this like 3 years ago. We did like a Men of Kingdom Vision thing. That was like one of the first times I had done something really like this. And it's really helpful just to gain understanding about yourself. And also I really, a term I like to use is like evidences of grace, of the grace of God in your life, and just seeing like where he's brought you from, where you've been. So it gives glory to God, and at the same time helps you understand like, oh, this is why Chris acts the way he does and does the things he does in 2024, and helps me understand too, like, what are the things I need to do? What are the things I want the Lord to work on this next year, this next 2 years, and praying over? And so I love this because it gives space and time and guidelines for, hey, slow down and reflect and really process these things, because people just don't really do this.
No, that is good. Yeah, a lot of times we look towards the future and we're not reflective on.
Mm-hmm.
And part of this is, if you just turn towards the future, which in a second we're going to do, you tend to, in church world, there are a lot of shoulds.
Mm.
Oh, I should do this. I should do that. In our world, there is.
Yeah.
Just in our world. There's you should want to do this. You should want to do that. Well, you could do a lot of things, but are these the things that really God has prepared you for and called you to? And so what happens is you end up adapting someone else's vision.
Yep.
And just kind of co-opting it and trying to kind of put on those clothes. Whereas, again, Christ said, or Paul says in Colossians 3, like, put on the new man.
Mm-hmm.
The new man is Christ, but it's specifically fitted for how God has wired you and his unique calling on your life,
mm-hmm.
where you're going to put on that Christ-like character, that Christ-like disposition, that passion for God's glory. And then it's going to be within the geographical realities, the generational realities, the economic reality, like all these things. It's going to, and your life experiences that formed you for living out this calling. Now, that's where then we turn to the future. And as we turn towards the future, there's a little analogy in there where use it many times. I've always found it compelling, where it's the little boy playing Monopoly, because the idea is, do you have a vision for what really at the end of life, what it's all for? Where are you going? What's your North Star? Where are you headed? What's the old Yogi Berra, you know, the old Yankees player? He had all those little quips. He said, you know, if you plan to go, if you don't have a plan, then you'll go someplace else or something. Oh, what's that great quote? He had a great quip like that, where it's like, you're going to end up, you're rarely ever going to end up where you desire to end up.
We don't by default go in a healthy direction. I think this is even like what Ephesians 5:15-16 say, is like, be careful and be wise how you walk, because the days are evil. Like, you have to think through these things. You have to be intentional, because our default in a fallen world is not towards intentionality, is not towards really productive or really helpful. I think our default is actually the opposite of that. And that's why I really love this, because it brings intentionality. And it's like, hey, make a plan for this, because your default isn't going to be healthy, as for everyone. It's not just you. It's me, it's you, and
part of the evil of our day. What's captured this analogy with the boy who's playing Monopoly with his family, it captures the dynamics of our day that grip us and drive our lives without really reflection. So the analogy, the boy is playing, I think this is pretty well known kind of, you know, story, but the boy is playing Monopoly with his family, and he's kind of one of those winner take all kind of kids, and kind of mocking everyone, trash talking as he's
going. Do you resonate?
Maybe. This may be why it strikes such a deep chord.
This is a story about Matt.
This may be part of my biography. So the family is playing Monopoly, which again, by the way, relational advice, never play Monopoly with your family or those you love. Surefire way to bring up all the issues. So he's playing Monopoly. He's going around the board, just dominating, collecting all the properties, getting all the money, you know, all that. And as he's doing it slowly, like the family members are kind of walking away. As they lose, they're out of the game. They're just kind of like, but they really just don't want to be around mm-hmm. him. So they're all leaving. And at the end, it's him and his grandmother's left. And when he gets done, he finally wins. And kind of expecting the congratulations, but they're sitting there alone. And the grandma says, okay, are you ready for the real lesson of the game? He's okay, what is it? She's like, it all goes back in the box. Hmm. And it dawns on him what she's saying, and he starts, all those properties he collected, they go back in the box. All that money, stack it up, it goes back in the box. No matter how many times you pass go, no matter how successful you are, what you acquire, at the end of the day, you're going to go in a box. Mm-hmm. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, all these things that I've built, they could just go to fools. Mm-hmm. That, like, these things will be handed off. Hearses don't pull U-Hauls, mm-hmm. right? For a reason. And so, but we tend to live our lives forgetting that. No perspective. That one day, so in other words, the question is, what will last beyond the box? Mm-hmm. It's not saying that you don't have the properties, you don't pass go, you don't live life, you don't do this here, but what are the aspects that will pass, that last?
Yep.
And what the grandmother was trying to say was, you're all alone. What would have last, it's gone now. Mm-hmm. You're all alone. And so, so people matter. I think there are things. I want to be careful with this because I do, like in Revelation, you see, the kings of the world will bring their treasures into the new city. I do think there are more than what we realize, things in our life that we practically do that in some way will go into eternity.
Gotcha.
Like obviously souls and our impact on people, relationships, yeah. But also an engineer who's figuring out the how to stabilize drawbridges. There will be something in that goes in the new heavens mm-hmm. and earth. I don't know exactly what. So I want to be careful to say all the things you could do in life, they just don't matter. They burn and it all sinks, yeah. right? You're just rearranging chairs on the Titanic. No, there are things that last. However, at the end of the day, you don't live for this world.
Yeah.
Right? And so this vision, so that just sets up to set the heart for. Do you have a vision for that final moment when it's going to hit you? Like, I've now been a pastor long enough, and just personally, both my parents have passed away. Most of my family, unfortunately, a lot of my closest, my grandparents, everyone's, almost all of them have passed away. So I've been at that last, those last days many times. People I barely know, people I know very intimately and know a lot of their story. And over and over and over again, what I consistently see is that sense of looking back and what really mattered. And the question is there a way now to invest, knowing that at that moment we know, essentially, because we're getting ready to step into the other side and hear, well done, good and faithful one. Mm-hmm. And the question is, when Jesus says that, if he will say that, what will he be referring to? And I want to be prepared for, why not start living now? Mm-hmm. Why not start investing in that now mm-hmm. and set a trajectory? So the last part walks you through developing that vision. There are a smattering of things here, really. It's everything from, you know, prompts like that. What will be the thing that Jesus is saying? What will be the things that... what will you be known for? You write an obituary. There are just a few different kind of exercises, different angles to try to jostle you
yep.
to think about that. But it's kind of that moment, like, imagine everyone's gathering around your eulogy. This is what stood out to me about mm-hmm. that person. What do you want them to say? What's it going to be? And that, what that's going to do is that's going to set a trajectory, that picture, for then, okay, if we're going to develop a plan, what do I need to be doing mm-hmm. to get to that day?
Yep.
What are the things that I can do? It's not saying you're going to bat 1,000, mm-hmm. but how can I be intentional to get there?
Yep. Yeah, I've found these things so helpful. You've probably heard the term like gospel amnesia. Like, we're just really forgetful people, and I need consistent realignment. So I try to weekly, but it ends up being about 2 to 3 times a month. But where I go down through my vision, my eulogy, and like, what would I want someone to say about me at my eulogy? And it, like, to pray through those things, and then also just to look through, like, what are the things I need to be doing? What do I need to repent of this week, even practically? But based on, like, where I want to be going, because I'm forgetful and I forget these things. I need a consistent realignment. And these things are just so, so helpful, where it's like, oh, no, this is what God has for me. This is what I need to be doing to take steps towards that. And consistency in this is, it's been one of the biggest return on investments, I feel like, in like my spiritual health, physical health, relational health, all those things. To just be like, hey, let's actually just sit down and evaluate and just pray through this. And like, how's this actually going? And I think this is a really, really helpful tool for that.
Great. Well, that's incredibly encouraging. I'm excited to see and hear as individuals are utilizing this. And so what we're going to do is that wraps up that first step in the steward script with just clarifying that vision, getting a clear picture of the future. What we're going to look at now, the next, is we're going to turn to priorities. So now, okay, you're all ready to go after it. How do you not just go after it for like 3 days, 24/7, burn yourself out, and you're like, ah, forget it. Yeah. So next we're going to talk about how do we prioritize in order to begin taking those steps. Thanks for joining us.